Again, good morning. I love you. I'm glad that you're here today. Glad our live stream family is with us, which is growing, and so many friends that are out there. Can't thank the Lord enough. In fact, every day, several times a day, I and my family pray for this church, the connection, the total church, both here and around the world. And I just want you to know that we're humbled that you would be a part of what God has called us to do collectively. And we do recognize that it's a team, it's a body. And we all get the credit. Isn't that great? I said, isn't that great? You know, in school and sports or whatever, you'd push your way to the front because you wanted to be number one or what have you. You don't have to do that with God. I said, you don't have to do that with God. He keeps good records. He knows exactly who's a part and who's helping. And who's, I almost said, who's a slacker? And no, because see, then it would go that way, and I didn't want it to go that way. But who's not a part of helping? I got to watch what I say, don't I? Anyways, well, like Mama said, if the shoe fits, wear it. But anyhow, we serve a wonderful Savior. And I don't want that part cut out for sure, Joshua. I want everybody to know that I do appreciate you. Love you. This message this morning is it's going to be very harsh, I'm sure. And there's going to be some things said that certain ears will have to just deal with it. But it's a reality of where we are. And I can only preach the way it is given to me, and I refuse to candy coat anything or to water anything down. I refuse to, because I receive the greater judgment than you do, because I stand here, and one day I will stand before an awesome God, and so will you. I'll be accountable for what I do and say. You'll be accountable for what you hear and do when it comes to ministry. But I just wanted to get that disclaimer out there, that there will be some harsh things said today. But let me give you what the Lord spoke to me prophetically. He said, America, welcome to the jungle. What you sow, you shall surely reap. To live for the flesh is to die by the flesh, and you are witnessing your decay. You've wanted endless sex. You got it. You've craved the drugs of your choice. You got it. You wanted the perversions of the flesh? You got it. Now you must wallow in the dung you have created. Harsh words for hard-hearted, stiff-necked people who refuse correction, discipline, and grace. I have turned you over to the tormentors. Do you not know it? Can you not see it? How could you, when your shepherds are mixed and spotted? They are mixed with false religions, pagan rituals, and doctrines of devils, spotted with the world's sin, refusing to come clean with me. Exposure is the only remedy for those who hide and abide in the dark. To my true church, I'm coming with healing in my wings. Shelter in me, receive of me, learn of me. And I will never forsake you. No matter how dark the storm becomes, I am your rock. Father God, we thank you for the truth of your word that we will hear preached today. The word that overrides any prophecy. And prophecy is permission. Prophecy is a glimpse to the heart of what you have to say. But your word is everlasting, and your word is what we rest our eternal souls upon, because we believe in that word. Father, hide me now behind the shadow of the cross and help me to declare and decree these truths with power and with love. And may the name of Jesus be glorified. Amen and amen. Very strong words for sure to start out a bright and sunny Sunday morning here in Livonia. But as always, when I go before the Father, I ask him what his will is and what his heart is. because we've had enough of the preaching of the minds of men. We've had enough of the psychology of men. We've had enough of the Reader's Digest type of sermons and the Hallmark moments and quotes that are so cute and so pretty that come from our GQ preachers that do nothing for our souls. It's about time somebody stood up and told it like it is and declared and decreed what God has to say in this generation at this moment. And I am just one voice of many, a plethora, that God has raised up in this hour to declare his truth, in which I am humbled to do so. As I was seeking him, as I always do, again, finding his will for this message and for this time, he spoke these words to me. He said, "Welcome to the jungle. Welcome to the jungle." And of course, my mind, being an 80s guy, went straight to Guns N' Roses, "Welcome to the Jungle" song, released on September 28th, 1987. Voted by VH1 as the greatest rock song in their history. But if you ever listen to it and remember the words or go back to the lyrics as I did, it is absolutely sickening and full of debaucheries, and it paints a perfect anthem and song for this nation. Welcome to the jungle. But that's not what I'm talking about this morning, and you will see in a very profound way in this message, how the Lord is speaking to our nation. I could not have made this up or put this together myself. I don't have the intelligence to do that. I don't have the ability, and I sure do not have the deception within me to do so. My heart is pure concerning the things of God. Go to Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah chapter 12. We've been in Jeremiah chapter 12 before. I don't know when the last time it was. And to be honest with you, I don't keep score. I just preach it. And when I see something that's familiar, I'd say, "Lord, are you sure?" And he'll say, "Uh-huh." And I'll say, "Okay, let's do this thing." So Jeremiah chapter 12, again, we've preached it. I don't know, maybe we've preached every single chapter of Jeremiah. I'm not really sure. If we have, it's not been on purpose. In fact, I've never done a teaching on Jeremiah. I probably don't need to now. But just a little bit of a background. Jeremiah is in a very troubling situation. And he's puzzled. He's puzzled by the prosperity and the joy of the wicked. How many of y'all feel that way? I said, how many of y'all feel that way? You look at the world and the cesspool and the sewage of sin that they're wallowing in, and yet they seem to be prosperous. It's funny how all the beer commercials show everybody that is trim and slim and having a good old time. Less calories, by the way. Great taste. But they don't show you Bubba. Come on, somebody who can't button his pants because he's drank too much beer. Or in the mortuary where there's a family that's been killed by a drunk driver. Or the battered face of a woman who has been tormented by a drunken husband or spouse or what have you. No, it doesn't show you that aspect of it, but we look at the world and the world paints this picture that everybody's got it better on the other side than where you are. That's the power of the persuasion of the enemy to bring you out of the place that you're in God so that you will go wandering somewhere you don't belong. That's dangerous. Stay in the Father's house. I said, stay in the Father's house and be careful when you're in the Father's house to be content. Because the prodigal son, he did not backslide in the city with the partiers. He backslid in the house because he said he wanted to go and give me my inheritance. I want to get out of this place. And the father let him. And when he did, he ended up with what? The pigs. but it began in the house. So Jeremiah, he's puzzled by the prosperity and the joy of the wicked, and he's perplexed by the plans of those in Anathoth that wanted to kill him. Now, Anathoth was his hometown, by the way. There's no prophet that's welcome in his own hometown. Jesus knew that and taught that for sure. But Jeremiah was in that situation like most of us are today, who are trying to live right and pay our bills and pay our taxes and go to work and do what's right and raise our children. Why is the world prospering? And let's look at that now as a background. Verse 1, Jeremiah chapter 12, "Righteous art thou, O Lord." I love how he just begins to say, "Lord, hey, you're awesome. Oh, dear God, I love you." But then what happens next? "When I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments." Lord, I'm going to talk to you, and I need to talk to you about your judgments. I need to talk to you about your commandments, because I don't understand something here. You know, it's all right for you to talk to God in a way that he can relate to you and you can relate to him instead of being King James-ish. Why don't you just knock that off? "Oh, thou wast Godeth in the heaveneth." Hey, Daddy God, I need you. Father, you there? "Let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper?" I don't get it, God. I don't understand this. I don't know how these people are prospering. "Wherefore are they all happy that deal very treacherously or with deception?" I just don't get it, God. You've got all these people that are making multiplied millions of dollars in pornography and rock and roll and hip hop and movies and this and that and selling drugs and the cartel and all those other things that are going on, and transvestites making money, get their own cable program. Come on, somebody. Preacher can't even pay the bills to get on television. But they're just going to promote and promote. And all these things are happening. And Lord, I don't understand it. I can't understand what's happening. Verse 2, "Thou hast planted them." God, in my eyes, it seems as though you planted them because nothing moves them. No scandal, no storm, no issue of life. They continue to prosper. In fact, it seems that in Hollywood, you have to have multiple partners and divorces and scandals in order to be promoted. It seems that way in the NFL. It seems that way in the sporting arenas of life, that you have to have some type of darkened past in order to be promoted. When the guy that's trying to do the right thing gets demoted and overlooked. Come on, somebody. "Thou hast planted them," and this is what he's saying, "Lord, you've planted them, yea, they have taken root." It's one thing to plant and for it to be burned up by the summer heat and by the sun. It's another thing for it to be planted, and you know it ain't a good plant, and it prospers. Reminds me of all these devil weeds we got around here. I call them devil weeds because they grab a hold of you like the devil and won't let go. I've mentioned it many times from this pulpit. They just need to burn it all. But it isn't amazing that you can't get a patch of grass to grow in one part of your yard, but a devil weed will come up. That thing will just grow like a vine all over your shed or whatever. See, it's the same concept. Jeremiah says, "Lord, I don't understand this thing. Thou hast planted them. Yea, they've taken root. They grow. Yeah, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins." Lord, they don't care about you. They're just saying, "God, we trust." And they make all kinds of pledges and vows. And they say that they serve God, or they know God, or they know of Jesus or what have you. And you hear them quote scriptures and all these different things. And they may maybe star in a family movie. And then next thing you know, they're in an R-rated movie. And on it goes. I said, "Lord, I don't understand. They got fruit. And they try to kill me back home." See what Jeremiah is going through? He said, "Well, I don't understand this thing." And many Christians are dealing with that at this very moment. Lord, I don't understand what's happening. We're supposed to be prospering. We are prospering. But we're just not going to prosper the way that the world is, because that prosperity brings sorrow. Watch this. Verse 3, but thou, O Lord, knowest me. So he's pleading his case. Jeremiah's like, Lord, he's not being self-righteous. He says, thou hast seen me and hast tried mine heart towards thee. Lord, you know me. You know I love you. You know I serve you. Why is all this happening to me? Why is all these things going on around me? And then he gets pretty heavy right here. He says, pull them out like sheep for the slaughter. Prepare them for the day of slaughter. Jeremiah is saying, Lord, why don't you go ahead and judge them? How many of y'all have ever been there before? Going through a trial and tribulation and going through all the things we're watching in the nation of the world. We just say, God, why don't you just wipe them out? Wouldn't that just be the easiest thing? You just push delete. Delete. Shift. Backspace. Over. Power off. That would be nice. Unplug. But God has a purpose. And I want you to see this. Verse 4. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither? He's like, Lord, I don't understand this thing. We're seeing environmental problems. We're seeing flood. We're seeing famine. We're seeing all this drought. We're seeing all these things, Lord, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. Lord, I know, I understand, being a righteous man and a righteous prophet, Jeremiah is saying, I understand that the reasons for the ills of our society and the ills of my country and countrymen is because of wickedness. But what are you doing about it? I know that has come across my heart before. Lord, where are you? And what are you doing? The beasts are consumed and the birds, because they said, I shall not see. He shall not see our last end. In other words, they're not going to. He doesn't see the end of it all. God can't see the end of it. There's going to be no end of us. We're just going to keep on partying. We're going to keep on doing what we want to do, because we're planted, we're rooted, we've got fruit. We're going to do everything that feels good. We're going to do everything that's right to us. And there is no judgment. There is no penalty. There's no conscience. There's no worries. There's no conclusion. We got this thing going on forever. We're going to just keep partying. How many of y'all know that's the mindset of the world? Every time something happens in our world and in our country, and we declare and decree prophetically the judgments of God and the birth pangs and the troubles and the pressure, they just say, well, it's just a downturn. It's just a problem of shipping and receiving. It's just a problem of supply and demand. It's just a problem here and a problem there. And the world continues as though God never said anything about an end. But you and I know there is an end. If there's a beginning, there must be an end. And so Jeremiah, he's in this position. And he's saying, Lord, look what they're doing. They want to kill me. They want to destroy me. They want to annihilate me. They're doing wickedness. The land's being destroyed. They're profiting. They're prosperous. All these things are happening. But I want you to look at what the Lord says. And I want you to notice this. The Lord never answered him in his complaint. He never answered him according to the words of his questions. Watch what he does. The Lord rebukes him. Verse 5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? How canst thou contend with horses? In other words, Jeremiah, everything you're throwing up at me, the threats against your life, all these different things that are coming against you, the wickedness, the prospering, all of these complaints that you're bringing to me, all of these things that you're trying to spell out for me, which I am fully aware of, if you can't handle those little things, then what are you going to do when it really gets rough and it really gets tough and it really gets crazy and God begins to move with his hand? What are you going to do? He doesn't answer him, but with a rebuke. And I believe that is what God is speaking to us this day. Is that don't worry about what's going on around you. Don't worry about what's happening in the present moment. Prepare yourself for what is to come. Because what is to come is greater than what you're facing right now. And if you ain't preparing yourself now, you ain't gonna make it, honey. Welcome to the jungle. You need to harden yourself and get yourself in a focus and a mindset of the last days. And get yourself ready to do combat spiritually with the enemy, because what's coming no man has ever seen before. No man has ever recorded before other than what the Bible predicts and prophesies. No man has ever lived it except the Apostle John and the Isle of Patmos in the book of Revelation. It's coming. And the best of our ability as preachers to describe and to illustrate what is going to take place is futile compared to the reality that will be in due season. And so God is taking Jeremiah's mindset off of the troubles of the promises and the problems of what's happening now and focusing on what is going to take place, because Jeremiah was going to go through great tribulation before the end of his life. In fact, if you study the life of Jeremiah, he went through all kinds of trials and tribulations and near-death experiences. Until finally, history declares that he was stoned to death by the Jews in Egypt. Do you know why? Do you know what the crime was for Jeremiah, if this historical fact holds steady of his death? His crime is because he told the truth and they didn't want to hear it. Is anybody here? So right now, the stones you're getting thrown at are just words and people shutting you off and thumbing you down or removing a video from YouTube or whatever. Oh, honey, those are stones that don't hurt. There's some real stones coming. Jeremiah, I'm telling you something, son. You're going to go to Jerusalem, and when you go to Jerusalem, you're going to find yourself a captive. You're going to find yourself at near-death experiences in Jerusalem. And Jeremiah, if you're not ready for that, then you're not going to be able to handle the totality of what I have planned for you. Welcome to the jungle. So if thou hast run with the footmen. And they have wearied thee, then how are you going to contend with the horses? Again, this is amazes me with the church today. Everybody's getting all worn out because of this and that. And we're getting fearful. And why is this happening? And what have you? And the reality is, listen, God is with us, with you. He's with us. He's going to make a way when there seems to be no way. He's going to provide for us. And all of these things that we're going through as a church, as a people, as a body of Christ worldwide is preparing us for the greatest harvest that is coming to the earth. Watch this. And if in the land of peace wherein thou hast trusted, they wearied thee, then how will you do in the swelling of Jordan? Now this is amazing right here. He said, how are you going to do, if you're in a place of peace and everything seems to be good, you think about it for a moment. America's going through some troubles, there's no doubt about it. We're having economic shakeups and quakes and tremors and those things. But compared to the rest of the world, they're hurting. We ain't doing too bad. I said, we ain't doing too bad. If you'd be honest with each other. My wife and I were sitting down talking about the other day over coffee, talking about, yes, things are bad, but we're doing okay. One, because God is for us, but also the totality of what's coming isn't here. But it is coming. And we have to recognize and realize if these things shake us up now, think of what it's going to be when it really continues to pour out on us. You better get stable now. I said, you better get stable. You better get stable in the Word of God. And that's why God has shifted this ministry from focused on certain things to get into the Ezra Project, where we're teaching people to get back to the basics, get back to the Word of God, and get back to your relationship with Him. It's powerful. because we need to be able to handle this. But watch what he says. Then how will it do in the swelling of Jordan? How are you going to do in the swelling of Jordan? Now, why does that matter? Well, it matters because when the Jordan began to swell or to flood, it was during harvest time. I want to teach you something here today. During harvest time, there was the flood of the Jordan. But here is the amazing thing. Watch this. I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified version. And if thou, or if you, take to flight in a land of peace where you feel secure, then what will you do when you tread the tangled maze of the jungle haunted by lions? In fact, I'm about to run around this place. In the swelling and the flooding of Jordan. What happened was during the time of the flooding and the time of harvest, the lions and the wild beasts would be removed from their place of habitation, and they would go throughout the region, and they would attack men, they would attack families, children, and they would destroy what was around them because they were moved by the flood. Here's the parallel, here's the understanding, that during that time of devastation and flooding and of the beast, the wild beast comes also the harvest time. There's two things happening. We're watching the world go to hell in a handbasket, and we're witnessing the great harvest of God, and we're seeing souls getting saved around the world, and great things are happening in the church. So in other words, there's two things taking place: harvest and hell. Now you got a choice. Do you spend your time focusing on hell or on the harvest? Welcome to the jungle. I'm going to focus on the harvest. I'm in the jungle, but I'm going to focus on the harvest. It was an amazing parallel and just blew me away. In fact, the word forest, I'm going to show you in just a few minutes what it translates to be. Verse 6, for even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called the multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak words, fair words unto thee. In other words, Jeremiah was being seduced like the church is being seduced to follow their pattern and follow their pathway. When God says to Jeremiah, you follow my way. And so many are going the way of the charlatans. Watch verse 7. I have forsaken mine house and I have left mine heritage. In other words, there's those prophets that are going to try to pull you in, Jeremiah. They're going to say, come to this church because it's a mega church. Come here because we have stunning Steve and Pastor whoever and all the great bands and all these different things. When they have doctrines of devils, by the way, being preached, but they got great music flow. They got all kinds of nice stuff. In fact, they got a shuttle to carry you from point A out there where you park, because I'm not going to say it, but you can't walk all the way 1,500 feet into the building. Come on, somebody. And you're 35. Is anybody here today? I'm not talking about mama that needs it. I'm talking about those that don't need it. And as soon as you pull in, there's a Starbucks ready to go into your hand. Church. Happy church. Friendly church. Hippie church. Come on, somebody. But he said, don't follow them, Jeremiah. They're going to seduce you. They're going to tell you to stop preaching the way you preach. They're going to pull some of your old YouTube videos off, Jeremiah. They're going to censor you. They're going to pull you off the channel. They're going to tell lies about you and say scandalous things about you. And all kinds of stuff are going to happen against you, Jeremiah. But don't worry about it. Don't worry if they promise you money. Don't worry if they whisper sweet things in your ear and tell you that you're awesome and you're wonderful and all those things, because guess what, Jeremiah? They're not with me. I said, they're not with me. I have forsaken mine house and I have left my heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of your enemy. See, when you preach this thing, people don't believe it. Church folk don't believe it. They get mad at you and say, oh, Pastor, God is love. God is love. L-O-V-E. Love, 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 love. Yeah, he is a God of love. But he's also a God of war. He's also a God of righteousness. He's also a God of correction. He also whoop up on you. Very gently, too. Because if he wanted to whip you up on you like he could, we wouldn't even be standing here. All he's got to do is sneeze. Look what he did to the Egyptians. He said, boo. At the Red Sea. Come on, somebody. Read your Bible. That's all he's got to do. But he's not going to do that to you. Not in the sense of destruction, but he's going to deal with a nation. He's going to deal with a people. He's going to deal in the form of correction. And America is being corrected. We are being dealt with because of our sin. I have forsaken my house. I have left my heritage. Again, people, they get all mad and say, God didn't do those things. Mm-hmm. I have given my dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of the enemies. The tormentors are here. I said, the tormentors are here. What's happening to our nation and around the world, God's allowing evil to prosper. Just as Jeremiah complained, but God said, let me rebuke you, Jeremiah. I have a plan. You better worry about yourself, boy. You better get yourself in spiritual shape, son, because you're fixing to go through some H-E double hockey sticks. Somebody's going, what? H-E? Oh, hell, you're going to go through some stuff. You're going to go through some problems, Jeremiah, and you're worrying about this and you're worrying about that. Listen, they've lost my protection and my provision, and I'm going to deal with them. That's why we're going through what we're going through. People want to get all these kinds of answers, even the Christians. It's just the way it's happening. It's global warming and, the panda bear and, cows are making too much manure. Hey, it's called the end of the world. It's called the end of the ages. It's called whatever man sows, he's going to reap. Come on now, if you eat bonbons every day of the week, I'm looking around, and you don't do nothing with the bonbons that are in your tum-tum. Your tum-tum's going to look like a bonbon. I mean, come on, somebody. Somebody help me now. You know it's the truth. I don't know why I'm getting heavy. I don't know either. That's like the cow in the field grazing, looking at the other one, says, man, you're getting big as a barn. You too, buddy. Oh, my gosh. There's a reason why they throw hay out there. Amen? They sell it by the pound. Well, you're not for sale. Oh, that's a whole other message. Help me, somebody. Watch verse 8. Mine heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. You know what that word translates? Yair means jungle. Modern Hebrew translation, it means jungle. I was blown out of my seat when I read both the Amplified Version and this particular part here. Mine heritage is unto me as a lion in the jungle. Welcome to the jungle. It crieth against me. In other words, always roaring against me, never for me, never doing what I want him to do. When the Jordan begins to swell up and it begins to flood, they begin to go out and devour. Jesse was trying to devour Jeremiah with sweet words and fine words. Found it amazing. In this nation, it is a jungle. In this nation, we're living in a time and a period of absolute insanity where man has just lost his mind. He's lost his bearing. He's lost his moral compass. Whether it's murder in our streets or in our schools, whatever it may be, it's insanity. And it's only going to increase ever the more. And the problem is the church is a part of it, and the church is not helping God with the solution, which is Jesus. We're adding to it because we are condoning it, not condemning it. our preachers won't preach thus saith the Lord anymore, because they're worried about ratings, and they're worried about Brother Big Bucks, and they're worried about the editorial committee. They're worried about getting shut off. They're worried about losing nickels and noses, instead of just preaching the blessed truth that God imparts to them. And God will get you the finances no matter what he has to do. He will bless you, and he will keep you afloat, if you will, and he will prosper you if you preach this truth. We are living proof of it. We have been through the ups and downs as a church, dealing with the ins and outs of people because of their political persuasions and deception and other doctrinal differences, but we've been steadfast. And when you're steadfast, God will make sure you're unmovable. Is anybody here today? And he's trying to teach Jeremiah, welcome to the jungle, son. You've got all these things roaring around you, but you ain't seen anything yet. You're just an Anathoth. You're just in that one place. You're in that safe place. You're in that place of peace. But you fixing to go to Jerusalem. You fixing to go to Babylon. You're fixing to go to Egypt. You better get ready for it. And that's my message for the church today, is get ready for what is about to come. Quit worrying about your blessing. Get ready, get ready, get ready for your blessing. Then what you going to do when you get your blessing? You're going to want another blessing, because that blessing is too small. It don't last that long. How many of y'all know things that are shiny get dull? And then they end up in the shed. They ain't going to yard sale at my house. I'm holding on to it. But you know what I'm saying. Because I'll tell you the truth, we've never had a successful yard sale. We tried to have a yard sale a couple years ago. Remember that? We had one guy come while we were setting it up the day before, and he tried to beat me up over the price. I tell you, you're crazy, man. And then the next day, we had nobody come by. My wife looked at me and says, I'll never do that again. And I said, you ain't telling me nothing. I ain't doing it either. Took me half a day to get all that garbage out there. Nobody wanted it. Couldn't even get Goodwill to come out, Sarah. Nobody wanted that. They put their nose up and said, mm-mm. Watch this now. I'm just trying to get you happy, because you all look mad today. But Jeremiah, I'm trying to teach you something, son. I'm trying to get you prepared for what's about to come. You're living in the jungle, son. These lions are there. These wild beasts are there. They're there to devour. In America, we are that jungle. Not just America, but really the world. It's a mad, 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 mad world. It's a crazy world. People are off the hinge. You can't even honk your horn at somebody without possibly getting shot at. Don't dare roll your window down and say anything. Just kind of move on if you can. It's absolutely crazy. But mine heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest, or in the jungle, that crieth out against me. Therefore I've hated it. Pretty strong words from God. He said, I've hated it. Now, that's not the hatred as in I will never see you again and never talk to you again. It says that you've come to the place of my anger, that I'm going to respond to your sin. I'm going to deal with it. There comes a time when you just had enough. Come on, mamas, daddies. The time you just had enough. I've had enough of your shenanigans. I had enough of your stuff. And I'm going to deal with you. I tried the eye. Come on, mama. That meanest. That laser eye. That didn't work, so then I used a flamethrower, my mouth. That didn't work. Next thing, the belt. Come on, somebody. Or worse than that, you wait till your daddy gets home. Come on, somebody. There's stages of God's anger. And see, we don't know God because we try to have a New Testament view of God. If you have a New Testament view of God, you don't have the total view of God. You've got to understand who he is. He is still a God of war. He is still a God of righteousness and correction and discipline. That's why we have so many little hellions in our homes today, because they don't know nothing about discipline. They don't know nothing about restraint. They don't know nothing about routine. They just do whatever they want to do. You're so mean. No, Dr. Spock, you were wrong. You were an idiot. Timeout doesn't work. I said, timeout doesn't work. Timeout, you know what timeout does for a child? It gives them more time to think about how you can do it better the next time. I know, because they tried it on me, and I thought, I'm gonna figure this thing out. I'm going to scheme this. Every teacher listening to me is like, amen, praise God, hallelujah, preacher, preach it. Timeout don't work. Get the paddle back out. I know, I've had both. Timeout, and I've been paddled. And I will tell you right now, Brother Mark, paddled worked better. Especially the waffle board kind. Nobody's here to help me. That air does something to minister to you. Now, see, you preach this thing, oh my God, it's X-rated. That pastor's crazy over there, ba-deeper-deeper-deeper-deeper. Call the cops. I mean, are you crazy, man? Look at the mess we're in. We just need to be friends. We just need to be friends with our children. Right, right, while they're hanging on chandeliers. Yeah, that's what we do. All the teachers, I love them. They're just hollering. They need to have like a camp where teachers can go and just let out all their frustration. Wouldn't that be awesome? Just go crazy for a little while. All right, let's get back. Watch this. I've hated it, man. You know, there's things God hates. See, and again, we don't teach this in our American churches today, and therefore there's no fear of God. This is what I'm trying to say about discipline in children and adults and Christianity. There's no fear of God, so why should I worry about what I do? I can do what I want to do. What's God going to do about it, man? Because grace covers me, man, and Jesus paid the price on the cross of Calvary for not only my sins of my past and my present, but my future. So I don't have nothing to worry about, man. Pass me another beer. I don't have to worry about anything, man. Give me another smoke. Give me another hit. Give me another toke. I don't have to worry about these things, man. Because He loves me, man. God loves me so much. And we teach our people to have disrespect for God as we disrespect our parents. And we have no restraints and no constraints and no boundaries. And any river without a bank is a swamp. Right. Welcome to the jungle. And we're living in a swamp. And we blame it on political parties, we blame it on ideologies, we blame it on legislation, we blame it on the rain. When the reality, it's our heart, it's humanity, it's the church. The church is not preaching truth. Not relevant, not what needs to be preached today. Mine heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. Watch this now. None of this. I told you I don't have the ability to put this thing together or to connive and to try to manipulate. The word speckled bird means a mixed bird. Go back to the beginning of the prophetic word. My preachers are mixed and they're spotted. It also means to be spotted, a spotted bird. Come on now. It's so hard to find a pure preacher who just loves God and is not trying to rape, manipulate, or fleece the flock is very hard. It's the truth. It is hard to find good Christians that just love God and want to go to church and serve Him without having an inroad somewhere, a Tupperware party on the side, or an Avon Amway scam going on, trying to pick up somebody to hook up with and marry them because you don't want to work and you need their disability check. Somebody help me. Something's good. It's an angle. I'm going to go to church in an angle. You don't even park straight in the parking lot. You got an angle. Y'all going to go out there now and look. Well, you can blame it on me because we don't have any parking spots out here. We just got old railroad logs. You just park and knock them over like Miss Lee used to do all the time. Remember that? I always knew where Miss Lee parked because the railroad log was moved about 20 feet. I miss Miss Lee. I miss Miss Lee. One day we're going to see her. Amen. One day we're going to see her. Glory to God. Whew, I better get away from that. That touches me. Not that she moved my log there, but. Woo. Some of y'all, I guarantee you're going to go check. I'm going to get some white lines like the football field has. We'll just put them out there and you guys try to make it in there. But you know it's the truth. Everybody's got an angle. Well, I love you, but I got an angle. Let me have your phone number because I got an angle. Let me text you because I got an angle. I'd like to have lunch with you because I got an angle. Instead of just being straightforward and just loving God and just loving the people, loving the world, we got a mixed up, mingled, speckled type of ministry today. Got pastors that want to be real estate entrepreneurs and then pastor on Sunday morning. Jet around the world, jet around the nation, doing all kinds of stuff and being on television, secular television, TV shows and what have you, then try to come be spiritual on Sunday. That to me is speckled. Preaching doctrines of devils, meditation and yoga. Let me tell you something now. You mix these doctrines of devils in with Christianity, you still have doctrines of devils. It doesn't sanctify it. It doesn't make it better. It's still of the devil. Transmeditation and all that's going on, a new age is happening inside the church. And said, my inheritance unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round about are gathered against her. Come, you assemble all the beasts of the field and come to devour. God allows the enemy to come in and to strike. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. Who did that? The pastors, the leaders. I don't put the blame on an administration's, notice the plural, lest I rouse somebody up. I don't put it on legislation and political powers and entities. I put it on the power of the pulpit, because the highest office of the land is not not a president or an ambassador or some type of dignitary. The highest office in any land, in any nation, is the pastor, because he's been called by God to declare and decree the words of heaven that override the words of earth. They are spiritual. They are life. They are creative power. And we don't take our job seriously in the body of Christ. We think it's a job, as I said. It is a career. Honey, this is not my career. This is my life. Preacher is not what I am. It's what I do. Come on, somebody. Being a Christian is what you do. It's your lifestyle. And the pastors and the believers, they have muddied the waters and they've caused people to become desolate, and they have left the church. I truly believe the highest percentage of the true church is not in this room right now or listening to me or any church building right now. They are outside of the four walls waiting for the truth to be preached to them. I believe that, because how many of y'all used to not be in these four walls? How many of us loved God, but we were scattered abroad? So I believe that God is calling them. And there's coming that day when they will gather together again. But it won't be under these conditions. Not under these pastors. Not under their feet. Honey, you're not under my feet. We're together. We're part of the body of Christ, called by God to do a great and mighty thing. And that is to bring in the final harvest. They've made it desolate, being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate because no man layeth to heart. Listen to what he says. No man layeth to heart. The whole land is desolate. Does anybody give a rip anymore? Do pastors give a rip anymore about the destitute, the dying, those that are in trouble? I remember somebody telling me, in fact, we heard so many testimonies when Jennifer and I began this ministry and God began to open up media platforms and we were able to be on one of the largest Christian broadcasting news ministries at the time, and people would say, well, I can't find any church like this. I can't find a pastor or an elder that would even pray with me. And the first thing I would say is, I'm sorry for that. And the second thing I'd say is, there's an exit door. I would never stay anywhere where the preacher wouldn't pray with me and spend time and prayer and believe God for me or hear the cry of my heart or counsel in some way. What is this, some superstar program? That's what it is. It's Hollywood, preacher style. Made it desolate. No man layeth the heart. Today it's hard to find preachers to even preach about sin because they're so afraid of what everybody's going to say about them. Honey, I'm not afraid what anybody's going to say about me. I've been married for 27 years. I can handle it. Is anybody here? Thank you, Curtis. I can handle this thing. Amen. No, I'm not worried about it because I know when you preach truth, the shield of faith is your protection. When you tell the truth is what it is. Now, Jeremiah lost his life over it, but what if you lose yours? So what? See, the church has to come to the point where we just don't care anymore. We're just not worried about it. We're trying to be too eco-friendly with everybody when it comes to hell and sin. And that's the problem with the modern-day church. We just want to be so friendly and so inviting. It's like going to a resort. Come on now, they ought to just pass out pillows and mints. You get a Starbucks, you get a mint and a pillow. And you get headphones and those little eye things to put over your eyes so that you can relax during your flight to nowhere. Because that's what it is. It's a flight to nowhere with an in-flight service called preaching. If you want to call it preaching. Help me now. No man layeth the heart. When are we going to lay it to the heart? When are we going to lay it to the heart? When are we going to say, Lord God, help us reach those in India where there's less than 1% of Christianity in effect right now? God, how are we going to do this? How are we going to help those in the nations of the world that are hungry? In the nations of Africa where there's drought? Where we spend more money on dog food? Lord, we could be digging wells. There's a ministry that we're part of right now, FAI, that's helping give the legs to the amputees and all that from the war in Syria and Iraq and different places in the Middle East and Afghanistan. And they're giving these body parts back to them to help them have some function of life. That's true Christianity. True Christianity is not believing for a new jet airplane. And begging people for multiplied millions of dollars for a new sheep shed. That's not true Christianity. Visiting the widows and helping those in need and bringing food to those that are destitute and those that are naked, giving them clothes and all those great things that Jesus talked about. Man, that's Christianity. And I want to be a part of it, even in the jungle. But no man layeth the heart. You'd be hard-pressed to find somebody to talk about this, somebody to preach about it, somebody to declare and decree we need to reach the world. No, they don't want to talk about that. They will talk about their sex life. They want to talk about how wonderful they are and what a groove they got with their wife. See, get real quiet in this Holy Ghost church. But it's the truth. It's sickening. It's just sickening. I don't want to hear nothing about you except preach the gospel, bub. I want some fruit. Now watch this. No man layeth the heart. Now what happens? Verse 12. The spoilers are come upon all the high places through the wilderness for the sword of the Lord. Whose sword? The Lord's sword. Who were they? The Babylonians. God is prophesying through Jeremiah and telling Jeremiah, look, son, I know you're upset about all these things, about the fruit and the prosperity of the wicked and all this happening to you in Anathoth, and they're going to try to kill you, but you ain't seen nothing yet, son. Wait till you get to Jerusalem. But I'm prophesying to you, son, and I'm telling you that the sword of the Lord will go from one end of the land into the other. Why? Because my pastors have made it desolate. Somebody put down the hedge. Somebody was asleep at the wheel. Somebody was supposed to be a watchman, but fell asleep on their watch. That's why we are where we are today. It's not just biblical prophecy, because part of that prophecy is the fact that man will be lovers of themselves. He's talking about the church too. We've fallen asleep. We don't lay it to heart. Who cares? Who cares about them, man? Let them pimps do what they do. Let them whores do what they do. Let them drug addicts do what they do. Keep them on that side of the... Listen here, county commissioner, city man. You keep them over there. Don't let them move in over here. We don't want them here. We want them on that side of the track. Y'all ain't helping me. See, I'm getting too real and too raw. Mr. Sheriff, I need you to push them over there. And we're going to build our churches over here, because we don't want to be over there, because over there they ain't got no money. Over here they got the money. So I'm going to hang out with you guys. I'm telling you the truth. And no man lays at the heart of what's happening in the community. Oh, they may do a little outreaches and give a little food and a little pity to the community to show the religiosity and to soothe the conscience. But the reality is there's no real heart to it. Where's the all-night prayer? Where's the prayer? Where's the fasting? Where's crying out to God and interceding? Where's sowing the funds into the world missions? Where's reaching the lost? Where's you getting up on an airplane and going to preach the gospel instead of going down to the Bahamas to get a suntan that you don't need? I can sell you a suntan in a can. We'll just spray you down real quick in the fellowship hall and you can look as red and... whatever you want to be. So help me now. But he said, I'm going to send the sword. Whose sword? It's God's sword. Well, I don't believe that, Pastor. It shall devour from one end of the land into the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. Let me read to you a statistic if I can. Talking about the sword of the Lord. I don't even have to get into the violence that's happening in America and around the world. I don't have to get into the jostling of nations that are preparing for nuclear war, preparing for overtaking countries, whether it's China against Taiwan, Russia versus the world, Iran versus the entire Middle East, especially against Israel. We don't have to even go into all these details, because there's a plethora of threats that are biblically, prophetically being revealed at this hour. But he said, I'm allow this sword to go through the land, that no flesh shall have peace. There's a reason why we don't have peace today. It's because we don't have the Prince of Peace. We've made a decision to live in our lust and to live in our flesh, and therefore we're going to die by it. We've made a decision to wallow in the dung that we have created. God didn't create the dung, we did. And we like the dung, so we stay in the dung. And no matter how much you clean up a pig and put Chanel No. 5 on it and a $1,000 outfit, that pig is going to go right back to the mire. He's going right back to the mud. Because why? He's a pig. And until we get that into our understanding and our hearts, we're never going to have the solutions to the problems of humanity. Until we preach truth, we're going to throw billions and billions and billions upon billions and trillions of dollars into the abyss, because there are no answers but in this word. Monkeypox is ravaging Europe right now, and it's circumnavigating the earth. And I want to read to you some statistics. The WHO just made a global health emergency out of this, which is the World Health Organization, which is, I believe, a step lower than a pandemic. So now special things are being done throughout our nation and the world to try to prevent this. But let me read to you a study so that you can understand what monkeypox is and where it has come from. 95% of the cases are transmitted by sexual activity. 95% of them. 98% of them are those infected people who are gay or bisexual men? Is anybody here? 41% of them have already had HIV. The average age is 38. So we have a global emergency concerning the sodomites. While Hollywood and all the other entities, the propagandists of the devil, push for transgenderism and homosexuality and lesbianism and all those parts of a deprived, and I'm trying to mark my words very carefully, let's just say a sinful lifestyle. This plague is ravaging that community. When we get up and we preach about it, we're called bigots and haters and all these different things and out of touch. When right now you're watching the sword of the Lord and pestilences that Jesus said would come upon the earth. And COVID has not gone away and it will not go away. You're living in the last days, by the way. And there'll be more increasing variants and on it goes because this is prophecy. Our dislike is not against the community that participates in these things. My dislike is against the militancy and the propaganda pushed on our children and the innocency of their conscience. That's my problem. But this is going to affect us very soon in a greater way. Let me read some more to you. The average number of sex partners, I hope you can tolerate me, in the prior 3 months to being diagnosed with this is 5. Let me read that again. The average number of sex partners for the prior 3 months before they ever were diagnosed is 5. So they hooked up with 5 different people. And this is normal. Whether it is heterosexual fornication and adultery, it makes no difference. It's supposed to be a man and a wife. One. Notice this. 1/3 have visited sex on site venues, such as sex parties and saunas. And just so my critics out there can understand me clearly, this isn't a preacher's point of view. This comes from the Queen Mary University of London and their research. It's an article. Go look it up. Europe is on fire with this problem. And guess where the hot spot in America is located? D.C. Is anybody here? D.C., the devil's camp. And you want to let this in the schools? You want to let this in the churches? You don't have no pastor to lay at heart to preach and to love those that are in that community, to bring them out of them with the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and truth. You want to cover it over and say it's okay and love wins? While this thing ravages a 38-year-old average person who's just learning really to live life. And you ain't seen anything yet. This is going down as a new STD, the monkeypox. Though it has not been proven to be fatal, it is highly, highly painful, according to those that have dealt with it. And I will not read to you in detail any more about that. Finally, I will not be able to finish this chapter, so your homework assignment will be the rest of it, please. And your test will be in heaven. Verse 13, they have sown wheat, but they shall reap thorns. Oh, man, we're having a good time, boy. This is the life to live, the life of fornication, the life of pornography, the life of just swinging, baby. It don't matter what kind of partner you got, as long as it feels good, do it. Drug and booze is flowing. Let's do this thing. Let's have a party. Thinking you got weak, baby. Thinking you got it all together. You got your youth and you have all these different things. Then thorns pop up, honey. When AIDS ravished this world. Y'all remember when that took place? It wasn't a party, was it? You ain't seen anything yet. We ain't even got into the book of Revelation of the things that are going to come down on humanity. This is just a precursor. These are the footmen. The horses are coming. The four horsemen of the apocalypse, they're coming. They're already loose out of their barn and they're riding. And you're watching it take place in real time. They have sown wheat, but they shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but shall not profit. And they shall be ashamed of your revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. I would rather have the prosperity and the contentment of God than have the whole world lose my soul. I would rather have the woman of my heart, the woman of my life, than the chase after, come on somebody, the wildness of the field to only find thorns and to find heartache and hardship. If you're watching me right now and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, maybe you're part of that community and you're part of that sin. Doesn't matter if it's fornication, adultery. Doesn't matter if it's homosexuality. It doesn't make any difference. If you don't know Jesus Christ, today is the day to make it right. You can still live in the jungle. You just don't have to be a part of the jungle. You can come to the kingdom. God loves you with amazing love. All you have to do is repent of your sins. Ask Him to come into your heart. He will be your Savior and He'll help you. I know it won't be easy from the day forward, but get together with a Bible-believing church that will embrace you and help you. And it does get easier. If you're backslidden, you're one of those preachers, you don't lay it to heart. You're one of those Christians, you don't lay it to heart. You don't really care. Let them all go to hell in a handbasket. Your heart's not right. You need to make your heart right with God today and ask Him, what can you do to change the world or at least change one person? Father, thank you for this message today. Welcome to the jungle. Help us to recognize and realize we have been called. We have been called for such a time as this. In Jesus' name, amen.